A warning, our next topic will contain some explicit language. 11 and 12-year-old boys may soon be routinely offered a vaccine to protect against the sexually transmitted human papilloma virus, or HPV. That's following a recommendation by an advisory committee for the Centers for Disease Control. The vaccine has been offered to girls since 2006, but this CDC recommendation comes on the heels of new data showing that up to 80% of throat and neck cancers among men are caused by HPV, which also causes cervical cancers in women. Studies show the vaccine is safe and effective, but it's still been controversial because the virus is spread through sexual contact. Dr. Robert Haddad is chief of the Head and Neck Oncology Program at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and he's a longtime advocate of vaccinating boys against HPV. He joins us in the studio. Welcome, Dr. Haddad.
Thank you.
Could you start by telling us whether this rise in throat and neck cancers that we just referenced, are you actually seeing it at Dana-Farber in Boston where you work?
Absolutely. We, on average, see one or two patients per week with a condition of throat cancer related to infection with the human papilloma virus. This is a very common diagnosis in our clinics right now. So if you look at, you know, 3 decades ago, the patients we saw with throat cancer were smokers, drinkers, elderly. That's now completely changed. The patients we see in our clinics right now are essentially your age, my age. They're young. They have young kids, typically non-smokers, non-drinkers, and they're of a higher social economic status. The epidemiology of this cancer has completely shifted. What that creates a situation now where you are dealing with a very young patient population that has a life expectancy that's very long, that they have to receive intense aggressive therapy, radiation, chemotherapy, surgery. So you have a way to avoid all of that by vaccinating at a younger age to prevent having patients go through this treatment.
And the numbers are very striking that in the 1980s, about 16% of all throat cancers were caused by HPV, by this virus. From 2000 to 2004, that 16% number had jumped to 72%. Why that skyrocketing?
And this is very important. The short answer is that we don't know. We don't know why we see that rise in the numbers. It is clear, though, that the vast majority of patients affected with throat cancer are infected with HPV. So there's a clear evidence now that there is this association between infection with this virus and head and neck cancer. And as you mentioned in the introduction, this is a sexually transmitted virus.
Is it transmitted primarily through oral sex?
That's one mode of transmission, but also regular intercourse does transmit HPV. If you look at the studies that have been done over the past few years, two factors routinely come back as connected with HPV infection, and that's history of oral sex and multiple sexual partners. So these two behaviors repeatedly come back in clinical trials to be associated with infection with HPV and head and neck cancer.
Could regular sex, not oral sex, but could regular sex result in someone getting the HPV virus and getting a throat cancer?
Regular sex can also cause the transmission and also throat cancer.
You've said that it's very difficult to understand why we're seeing this rise in throat cancer.
Right.
Is there an assumption that there's also an increase in oral sex, particularly among teenagers?
That is an assumption, and it could be related to the HIV epidemics, that, you know, young adolescents think of oral sex as a safe way of having sex. So there might have been this association that, as we've seen the epidemic in HIV, at the same time, that's the history of oral sex has increased, and we've seen now the HPV association. But that's only an assumption. It's very difficult to prove that.
So tell us a bit about the virus itself. How easy is it to transmit, and is cancer the only medical condition it might cause?
Right. So HPV virus, or the human papilloma virus, can cause benign conditions like genital warts, and most genital warts are related to HPV infection. And also, it can cause cancer. Now, there are multiple cancers that can be caused by HPV. Throat cancer is only one cancer. Cervical cancer is linked to HPV. Anal cancer is linked to HPV. And vaginal cancer also. So there are many cancers linked to infection with HPV. But also we have to remember that there are many benign conditions, such as genital warts, are linked to HPV.
Does the HPV virus transmit more easily than other viruses?
It is considered to be an easy virus to transmit. In comparison, for example, HIV is probably a more difficult virus to transmit. Some people feel skin-to-skin contact might transmit it, kissing. So we can't exclude those other mechanisms, but the primary modality is a sexual activity.
The vaccine, when it was released for girls in 2006, as we said, was quite controversial. There was some belief among parents that it would indicate a green light for promiscuity. Now, at that time, vaccinating young boys was really not addressed.
Correct.
Even though boys could spread this virus to
Correct.
Girls,
right.
and even though boys could spread it to other boys if
Correct.
There's sex between boys. Now that it's being recommended by the CDC Advisory Committee for Boys, do you anticipate as much opposition as we saw in 2006 to girls being vaccinated?
Personally, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to see an increase in the number of boys being vaccinated. You want to catch boys and girls before they're sexually active. I think the information is more widely available now compared to a few years ago. People are more aware of the association of between HPV and all of the cancers we've discussed. I'm hoping that we will see more vaccination for boys and girls, because the fact remains that even girls are not being vaccinated now. At a minimum, I'm hoping that we'll see more conversations happening between parents, children, and their pediatrician about the role of this vaccine. It is really a big step forward that we have a vaccine that can prevent cancer. That's been a dream for many of us. So this is a very important step forward.
If a young teenager or a child is vaccinated, does that mean they will not get a cancer caused by HPV?
Correct.
And they cannot spread HPV?
Correct.
What if they already have HPV present in their body when they're vaccinated?
Then they will be protected against the other subtypes. So if someone is infected with HPV-16, the vaccine is not going to help them. But it might prevent them from getting infected with HPV-18, for example. We have to remember that the vaccine role is primarily preventive. So you want to give it to people before they have the infection.
What about adults? Is there any value in an adult being vaccinated against HPV?
Obviously, the official recommendation is ages 9 to 26. So when you make a recommendation like this, you're assuming that people that are 22 or 23 would still benefit from the vaccine.
We should note that you can have HPV in your body and not show any symptoms or have any
Correct.
Ill effects.
And that's the majority of people. They would have HPV and they don't know. It's not an infection that will give you a symptom.
Dr. Haddad, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Haddad is chief of the Head and Neck Oncology Program at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston.